Welcome to the Mindset Evolution podcast, powered by Self-Recoding, world-class consulting and coaching services that you can access at selfrecoding.com. Self-Recoding is a unique blend of neurohealing modalities that will empower you to reach your full potential. Join thousands of others who have experienced rapid results in their journey of personal growth. Now enjoy our show where we bring you tools for a powerful mind with your hosts, Cathy Tate and Daisy Papp.
And hello everybody and welcome back to season 8 of Bald and Blonde podcast, the podcast that gives you tools for a powerful mind. We are your hosts. I'm Cathy Tate from Australia. With me as always, Daisy Papp from America. Hi Daisy, how you doing?
Hi Cathy, thank you very much. I'm doing fabulous. I just came back from some travel and it is beautiful to record another episode with you because I was looking forward to seeing you and speaking with you and recording another episode for Bald and Blonde, serving humanity around the globe.
Well, I've got one up my sleeve today, Daisy, and it's one that I'm a little bit speechless we have not already done.
Oh, no. How did that happen?
I do not know, but we did have somebody ask for some information about this topic and we went and searched on our website and nothing came up. So I'm like, well, we need to do an episode on it, quick smart. And so we're going to talk about vulnerability today.
I'm all in because I'm vulnerable.
Yes, and I'm vulnerable too.
Now, what does that say?
I think we should ask everybody at home to take 1 second and just say that out loud to themselves as well. And then we're going to tell them why.
I appreciate that idea. And yeah, let's say it out loud. I'm vulnerable.
I am vulnerable. I bet you, Daisy, that made a lot of people uncomfortable because I know that it used to make me very uncomfortable.
So now you're projecting onto them because you felt uncomfortable?
No, I'm probably making a giant assumption, but it is based on my own experience. And my experience is that if I feel it, then a lot of people out there do too.
I think you are spot on. Yes. And I think when we speak about vulnerability, it is just a good idea to admit that we are all vulnerable, all of us, to different degrees, in different situations, in different settings, with different people. Now, I understand that many people were trained and conditioned to not show their vulnerability. Nevertheless, we are all vulnerable. And therefore, I think it is a great idea to admit that we are vulnerable. And I tell you exactly why that is so gigantically important. Because let's do an experiment right here, right now. I share with you, Cathy, I'm vulnerable. Now, when you then, against all odds, or just because of them, continue behaving in certain ways that make me even more vulnerable, not because you do it, but because my body's response will be showing more vulnerability or my defense mechanism goes up, because these are the two options we have. We either admit that we are vulnerable or the defense mechanism goes up. Now, tell me, when my defense mechanism goes up, does my vulnerability decrease? Certainly, truly, actually, factually, or do I remain the same vulnerable?
I'm going to say you remain the same.
I agree with you. So then therefore, when I share with you that I'm vulnerable, and let's say you would treat me meanly and poorly and rudely, does that not tell all about you? Because just I admitted that I am vulnerable? So when we humans learn that admitting to vulnerability takes much more strength than putting up some Chinese wall around me, emotionally, metaphorically, it doesn't work anyways. It's like a fake trait that I'm building up. It's an illusion that doesn't work.
Yes, I like this conversation and it reminds me of back when we first spoke about this, I have no idea how long ago, where I thought in my ignorance that if I could hide being vulnerable, it meant I wasn't vulnerable anymore, but that's just not the case, is it?
No, it's not. So therefore, I prefer sharing that I'm vulnerable. Why? Because then other people are on the spot.
It's like putting the ball back in their court, isn't it? To see how they're going to act.
Voila, back to tennis.
Yes, a great test of what they will do. I know it's been my experience over some of my relationships where I did not want to show that vulnerability because I knew how they would act and that it would hurt me more. And so we would get stuck into this sort of cycle of not being honest and open about being vulnerable for fear of how you would be treated. And then you sort of shut down that connection, and that doesn't fix anything. It doesn't help anything. It doesn't encourage intimacy or openness. It's just one big mess waiting to happen, isn't it?
I so agree with you. Yes. So I really appreciate to our listener who brought up this topic, and I appreciate you picking it up and producing a show about that, because I think it is important that we all face this illusion that we build up around ourselves that doesn't work. Isn't it almost like I'm holding you accountable the moment I admit that I'm vulnerable?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think it comes back to the premise where you've always said it's not what you say, it's how you act. And I think that this is one of those things that's going to bring out people's true colors. And you just need to get the popcorn out, right? And be the observer and see what they do. And then I think from there, it's a matter of going, well, if the actions that came after that weren't fantastic, what are you doing? Do you need boundaries? Do you need to be somewhere else? Do you need to change the people in your life? Do you need to have hard conversations around how people are acting? Do you need to remove yourself from the situation? And what is that next step for you going to be if you find out that perhaps that person doesn't give a toss that you're vulnerable? Because that's out there.
You see. So now we open up a huge can of worms, don't we? And I'd add to what you just listed. Do I really know what I want? I see it more and more, very frequently, that people don't really know what they want. I understand that the brain is biased and we can focus on what we don't want. That does not bring us closer to what we do want. Because let's say you and I, we go to a place and they offer us food and I said, I don't want food. I don't want food. I don't want anything to eat. How can then they be the mind reader or the clairvoyant to find out what I do want? Now, I understand that oftentimes in sessions, I realize, especially when I work with couples, that it is a tendency from those who have a brain that is more feminine, that they want that people around them know what they want before they even know what they want. That is such a setup for a mess up. So let's stop it and let's find out what I do want. Now, when I tell you, let's say you and I, we go out dancing and you step on my foot and I tell you, stop stepping on my foot. Wouldn't it be much easier when I said to you, if you take a little step back, we can avoid this from happening because I want my feet to be healthy and happy, just like you and your feet. So when I admit that I'm vulnerable, I'm a step closer to admitting that it's okay to want what I do want. Because we are so trained, and I include myself, I'm the first to put my hand up, to not dare to say what you do want. It took me a while to become more and more clear what I do want. And in sessions, for example, with clients or in workshops, I sometimes like to create a scenery where I say, okay, here's a magic wand. You don't need to believe in fairy tales and such. But just imagine for a moment, I hand you over a functioning fairy tale-ish magic wand. And you can have and do and think whatever you want. What is it that you do want? And interestingly enough, that people feel so scared to even think what they would want. I understand that the question might be, how is that all connected with vulnerability? Well, I think it is very much so, because when I share freely and openly what I do want, I share openly and freely some insights from my inside world, which may make me, again, more vulnerable. But that's the catch. It doesn't make me more vulnerable. I'm vulnerable already. And when I'm depending on your approval of my fairy tale-y dreams, my wishes, my wants, my needs, and my don't needs, my boundaries, then the problem's not with them. When I take the power back, and say, yes, I'm vulnerable. And I admit I wish a fairy tale that that's just happening like now overnight. And when I wake up, this and that is already arranged in my life. Now, I can have a group of 100 people in front of me that may start laughing. That tells me all about their mindset, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you said something super, super important within that. And that was that we don't want to depend on others' approval of our vulnerability and therefore our true wants, because that is giving our power away.
I'd like to quote Quincy Jones. I freely quote him because I'm uncertain if I can put it together exactly how he said it, but it was along the lines, "Not one ounce of my self-worth depends on your opinion of me." Now, you see how genius that is. He was a very smart man in his music career, absolutely, for many reasons, by my opinion, keeping his music rights to himself. And there are many things you can read up upon him and his music career. He made himself independent from other people's opinions and evaluations. That made him totally open, but he admitted that I'm vulnerable. It may hurt me, and I may not like how you judge me or evaluate me, but certainly, factually, your opinion of me does not decrease or increase my self-worth. And when we become clear in that, then vulnerability is something that we can actually celebrate. It makes us human and humane.
Yeah, I just want to dig in on that a tiny bit, because this was, I remember, being a very big thing for me after many years of conforming to social norms and feeling the pressure to look a certain way. It was a real epiphany for me in my 40s when I learned about external validation and what that meant and why I'd been craving it. I'd been conditioned to crave it. And letting go of that was such a freedom. And I think that's really linked in here, because we are conditioned to want this external validation. It is all around us, everywhere we look. And it's happening to our children as well and their children, because that's the way we've set our society up. And so to break away from that, I think, is a big thing. And I think that behind that, letting go of that need for external validation does give you your power back and does enable you or make you feel strong enough to go, yeah, I am vulnerable because I'm human and this is who I am. And if you don't like it, well, no one's telling you that you need to be in my world. Like, you do what you want. Off you go if you want to go. I like it. It's no skin off my nose at the end of the day, because why would you want them there otherwise?
Okay. I think this is a little bit in the extreme, because not everyone is to be removed only because they don't approve of me. The most important human who must approve of you is you.
Yes. And I am being extreme, yes, to get the point across.
Well, maybe there is some resentment bucket still active.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think that the extreme is an understandable example. And there's no secret that I've lived the extreme, just the way it has been.
Well, I think that when we look at how can we be enough for ourselves? Because now, why do I use the word enough? It can be inserted into many different attributes that we can have and values. I am kind enough. I am skilled enough. I'm fast enough. I'm nice enough. I'm lovable enough. I'm loving enough. I'm brilliant enough. So when we appreciate the values that we have, because there is not one human, I do not believe it, that any one human on this planet has zero values and characteristics that are admirable. Even in the bad guys, male, female alike, we can find some attributes or some values that are still admirable. We may not like what they do the rest of their lives. So even somebody we don't like, oftentimes they still have something that they bring into this world. And worst case scenario, they are great teachers to learn tolerance and maybe learn how to set boundaries, or how we can speak up for ourselves that this is what I want and this is how far it goes, and not one centimeter or millimeter or inch or tenth of an inch further. Now, when I think of the external validation, one of my great teachers, I really admire what he said. Many things that he said were great. And I like to share that with my clients as well. It is a metaphor. It has not to do with a literal cake. But he said, Daisy, you are cake, meaning you are whole, not perfect. It's not about perfection, but you are whole. And someone may be the icing on your cake, but you are cake. They are not the cake. You are cake already. They can be the icing on your cake. They may be the cherry on your cake, but you are cake. And when every single one of us appreciates the cakeness, I understand that word doesn't exist. And by the way, I'm not a rocket science, but I just met one. Thank you, Luke, for sharing your absolute brilliance, because we spoke about values and how we are misinterpreted. And we spoke about the vulnerability, actually, because I asked him, so what is something that rocket scientists are totally underestimated with? And he said, well, it's the other way around. We're not that smart at all, he says. So he opened up his vulnerability, but he loves what he's doing and he's doing a great job. And I'm looking forward to speak more with him about it. But you see, if he had said, well, we're the best in the world, he would have hidden behind a falsified door or a falsified veil or curtain or brick wall, showing that he's not vulnerable, which is bull manure, does not exist. We're all vulnerable. And it's beautiful when we admit, and it takes much more courage to admit that we are vulnerable than hiding for the rest of our lives behind defense mechanisms that don't work, because that is a self-deception.
Yeah, let's talk about those for a second, I think. Let's talk about the defense mechanisms and how can you negate them?
Well, I think they cease to exist the more I can accept myself. Why do I need to defend myself that, for example, I like a specific color of pen or a specific color of ink or a specific brand or a specific food or specific people? Why do I need to defend that?
Let's say because it's frowned upon in your family. Let's just give a hypothetical.
Can you give me a precise example, please?
Sure. I'm not very good with examples because you've got all the clients, but that way, instead of just being about the individual, Daisy, what I'm trying to get at is a scenario where there's a partnership. One person wants to show they're vulnerable and the other person's just shit on it. How do you undo that?
I am. Let's say there's Susie and let's say there's Joe. And let's say Susie comes home and she so wished that Joe was there already, but he wasn't because he's trapped in traffic jam. And she is home all alone and she was so waiting that he comes home because they wanted to go to a party that was very important for Susie. And then he comes home and instead of Susie telling Joe, hey, can we still make it? How can we make it still? Because I really want to go. Oftentimes what happens is that then Susie has the tendency to say, well, you're late, you don't care about me. These are offense defense mechanisms. When we focus again on what we don't want, how do we increase the chance that we get what we do want? Is it not that Susie wants to be at the party as soon as possible so that she's not missing out? And she wants to be there with Joe because otherwise she went there by herself with someone else, or she would have taken a cab or another way of transportation. Instead of Susie admitting that, hey, Joe, I really want to be there. How do I get there the fastest way possible? She shows her vulnerability. She's not offending Joe because she didn't even ask him in this case scenario with that I just made up on the fly. What happened, Joe? You promised to be here at 5 p.m. and now it's 6:14 and she didn't even ask him. Why? Because she was not curious, because she didn't show her vulnerability.
No, she went straight to anger and offensive.
Well, I understand that Susie is frustrated. Nothing wrong with being frustrated. What we do with it is all that matters. Untangling it is, let's say, Joe comes home because Susie said she's going to make him a specific meal. But she ran out of flour and she couldn't make it. And the car broke down. She couldn't go and get some flour. And the neighbors weren't home. She couldn't even ask to borrow some. So Joe comes home and he sniffs around the kitchen. He says, "This doesn't smell like what I was asking for or what I was promised." Instead, when he says, "Well, I don't smell it. I'm really saddened. My taste buds were dancing in my mouth since breakfast and I didn't eat all day because I was looking forward to eat that special meal that you would prepare for me, Susie." You see how peace-bringing that is when we show it and start speaking our wants, our needs, the sadness, how it feels for us, what happens within us, instead of attacking. Now, first of all, chances increase that I get faster, if at all, what I want. Secondly, the arguments will decrease. Why? Because the arguments are only the symptom of poor communication and admitting that we are vulnerable. In order to be able to do so, though, we must check in with self first, period. What is it that I feel? What is it what I want? What is it that I think? What did I assume? Can I admit that I assumed? Can I admit that I projected? Can I admit that maybe I was partially part of the problem as well and stop blaming it all on the others? So there are a lot of tiny little wheels, like in a beautiful clock or watch, these tiny little wheels that then make the clock tick. So when I check in with me, allow myself to be vulnerable, because why wouldn't I? Because if I allow it or not, I'm vulnerable either way. And I'm not an actor or actress in some flick that I need to pretend that I'm unbeatable, untouchable, invulnerability, superhuman. No, I am vulnerable and I stand for it. I admit it. I say it on stage. I say it in this podcast. I say it to my clients to inspire them to admit as well. Why? Because it decomplicates life, meaning makes life easier and smoother.
Well, that's a wonderful example. Thank you, Daisy. That actually has really made it all make sense for me. And I can see that the key here is honesty with yourself is the first step.
Bravo. Bravo. I clap my hands. Yes, standing ovation. Absolutely. That's the key.
Yeah. Yeah. What a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much to your client who asked for this topic, because it's been a pleasure talking about it. And I think it's something that we all do need more of. We need to speak more about it. We need to do it more. And we need to become more comfortable with it. And I think that that comes with practice.
Absolutely. And I very much enjoy that you said honesty, because that's where it comes down to. And that has to do with integrity. And that has to do with a very simple rule that can change everyone's life. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Because when Susie blames Joe, "Hey, because you're never on time. 10 years ago, you weren't on time. And how will I ever trust you? Because maybe 10 years from now, you won't be on time." Instead of saying that, "Look, I really feel hurt." When Susie checks in with herself, or Joe, who is disappointed that he appointed into the future that when he comes home, the table is set and he's going to sit down with his favorite beverage and eating his favorite meal. And then he disappointed himself because reality showed a different face or a different situation. So check in with self. You matter. And every single one of you listening matters. You matter. Check in with self first and then connect. Notice how you feel. Notice what your thoughts are. And then when you deliver this first person singular, meaning from the I point of view, "I feel this way. This is how I appreciate it, or this is how I perceive it, or this is how I don't appreciate it." You don't even trigger the alarm system in anyone else, because the defense mechanisms can remain down because they don't need to defend themselves because you didn't offend them in the first place. So we are all vulnerable, and I think it is a good idea to appreciate that we are vulnerable instead of trying to fight what we can't fight anyways. It would be faked.
Yeah, well, there you have it, everybody. And if you can get that much learning and breakthrough from a simple 30-minute podcast episode, you should be reaching out to work with Daisy. Just go to selfrecoding.com. We are so honored that Daisy sponsors our podcast and helps us stay on air every week for over 3 years now, bringing you tools for a powerful mind. So thank you, Daisy, for that. And we do encourage all of you to go and visit her, selfrecoding.com. Visit us too at baldandblonde.live. Tell us what you would like to hear a show about, just as today we have done, discussed a topic that a listener dearly wanted to hear about, and it has been fun. So we'll do that every single week, like we always do. You know where to find us. Please keep sharing with your family and friends, and please do also support us if you can. We would appreciate that as well to help us stay on air and hit year number 4. That's it from us today. We'll be talking to you soon. We are Bald and Blonde.
Mindset Evolution. Talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening in to the Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. Please share our show with your family and friends. Together, we make this world a better place for you, for us, for future generations. When you need consulting or coaching, visit selfrecoding.com. Also, please remember to rate us 5 stars and leave a review and support us at baldandblonde.live. Talk to you soon.